Father, we thank you for this privilege we have of studying your word. Help us, Father, not only to look at it as something that, yes, I've seen that, and yes, I know that, but help us to engraft your word on our hearts. Father, that we can be the people that you want us to be. We can fulfill your desire for us here and now. So, Father, help us. We are prone to wander and prone to go astray. So, Father, help us. If you don't help us, Father, we're just going to wander and go astray. So, Father, help us. And we give you thanks for this opportunity this evening and pray that your will be accomplished. And we give you thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have the Commands of Christ sheet, you'll notice that it quotes John 14:15. Keeping the commands of Jesus begins with recognizing what they are, and following is a collection of 49 of Jesus' commands. And John 14:15 says, if you do what? If you love me, then you'll do what? Love always in what is the word I'm looking for? Elicits, produces activity. Love is not passive, it's active. So love produces activity. If you love your wife or you love your mom or your dad, I'm sure you never say, well, I love you. If that's true, then you need to have a chat with Pastor. He'll help you. But no, if you love someone, if you love something, there's action involved. So the Bible says here, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, we need to know what they are. Let's look at Exodus 20 for just a minute, because there's a lot of controversy in Christian circles about, well, how does this apply to us today? And I'd like to read the whole chapter, if you'll bear with me. Exodus chapter 20, and God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, neither nor thy daughters, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within the gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up a tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness not be not discovered thereon. So Exodus 20, of course, has a set of the there repeated in Deuteronomy, but here are the Ten Commandments as God gave them to Israel. So we have the Ten Commandments, that part of the law. There are three aspects of the law. You have the commandments, these Ten Commandments, and then you have the information that God shared with Moses regarding how the people are to worship him. And then you have information that God shared with Moses about how you relate to one another. So all of that there is part of the law. We normally, many of us think, or many people think of the law simply as the Ten Commandments. So people say, but that's the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament times. We're under grace. We're not under law. And my response, I say, okay, which one of those doesn't apply to you? Which one of those doesn't apply to you? I didn't ask for an answer, but you're correct, man. The Sabbath doesn't apply to us, but all the rest apply. Thou shalt not kill. Is that still valid for us as believers? Absolutely. Anyway, what are the commandments of Christ? The first one, we're going to look at this in reverse, but tonight we just look at this evening we just look at the first one here. It says what? Repent. From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So after Pastor shared this morning, and what a message that was, tremendous message Saul's salvation experience. And his repentance, and I thought, okay, we'll just provide you with a bit of information about, well, what is repentance? And Pastor, as I shared, did a lot this morning to share about what repentance is, and it's Brother Cloud has this, and you can go online and find all of this. This is about one third of his whole session on biblical repentance. I just cut and pasted some of this, and at the bottom he says that you may do that as long as we give him credit for what we use. So there you go. Biblical repentance, as preached by John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the apostles, is a change of mind toward God and sin that results in a change of life. And Pastor went over that a half a dozen times this morning. If you didn't get that, Anyway, it results in a change of life. It is spirit-wrought change of mind that leads to a change of life. It is not a change of life. That would be works salvation. It is radical, spirit-wrought change of mind towards sin and God. Such a dramatic change of mind that it changes one's actions. Anyway, I don't intend to go through this whole, in fact, that's all I'm going to share this evening. I brought this along because some of you are lacking good reading material, see? So there you go, some good reading material. Okay, everybody happy? Know where we are? Okay, now, if you have the one that says, what are the commands of Christ? And we talked about repentance, the first one. And last time we shared about how many? Anybody remember last time how many of these we shared? Well, I couldn't remember either. So I thought, okay, we'll start at the back and work toward the middle, see? So if you turn it over, we'll start at the back. Where there's a will, there's a way. So here we go. Make disciples. So who can, who is familiar with Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Well, 18, 19, and 20, we ought to have, as you have on your sheet there, he has, the folk that designed this, has both Matthew 20, 18, sorry, 20, 19 by itself, and then 28, 19, and 20 on the very bottom. So we'll look at this passage together and look at what it says and how it applies to us. So if you found Matthew 28, you find it? Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, what is the key about verse 18? Come on, this is going to be a discussion time this evening, so come out of your shell, and what is key about verse 18? His power. Oh, his power. Woo, yeah, and he wants to share it with us through the work of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want to keep all his power. He wants to share it with us. He says all power is given so that we might be able to accomplish. He shared that with his disciples before he gave them a commission. So where God leads, he provides. If he's not providing, then you need to have a second thought about, is he leading in this way? And that's a tremendous rule of thumb for all businesses and organizations and families. I heard all those amens. That's good. Verse 19 says what? Go and do what? Teach all nations. Before you can baptize them, they need to know what they're doing. So teaching comes first. Every unsaved person needs to know about sin and the consequences of sin and salvation that's been provided free through the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So after you teach them that, and they have an experience with the Holy Spirit, then you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then comes the training part. That's what we're doing this evening, or trying to do this evening, teaching them to do what? Observe how many things? Oh, to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, I like that final statement. The fact is that Jesus Christ is available for us and present with us. So, Matthew 28, 19, 18, 19, and 20, how does it apply to us today? How does that apply? How does this apply to you? Okay, everybody's having a nap, or the wheels are going around. I see the smoke coming out of the ears of some of you, so the brain's working. So, sorry, where's, oh, yes, sir. It hasn't changed. So, well, how does it apply? So, yes, does it apply to us? Is that what you're saying? Okay, so are you going? Sorry? Going to all the world? Well, you know, you can. Well, at least we got some discussion going here. So, yes, we have a responsibility to go. Okay, is everybody called to go to a foreign land, or no?
To teach everyone you know.
Okay, that's the second part of it, yes, or the last part of it. So we have a responsibility to go. We have a responsibility to teach. How can you teach people who don't want to learn? How can you teach people who don't want to know? How do you do that?
By
Abby. Well, that's certainly one way to pray and earnestly seek God to open a door for a particular person or doors for particular people, and we do that. We pray that God would open doors. I sometimes open the door. We had some construction work done by some men from Innisfail, and when they finished, I have some friends that gave me some dried mango. It wasn't enough for all the staff, it was given with the express purpose of do whatever you want to with it. So what does that mean? That mean I could have the whole thing, huh? So anyway, I have some little booklets that I've shared before, that what on earth is God doing, and it has a great plan of salvation toward the end of it. So I thought, okay, here's an opportunity. So I'll tell them how much we appreciate them coming and doing the work, and we do, and we did, because if they didn't do it, they're one of the few in all of all north of Rockhampton that do this kind of work. So I took a packet of mango and one of those little booklets, and I said, okay, I've got something to remind you of the tableland, that is the dried mango, and I've got a book that I'd like you to read because it's got some very, very important information in. And I was really pleasantly surprised because the gentleman said, wow, that's good. Thank you. Thank you for thinking about something, and there's one for all the men. Oh, he said, you know, nothing like this happens. So, I mean, I don't know. What else could I do? I mean, they're working, and when they finish, they want to go. So, you know, you come to our house for an hour lesson on the Bible and the fact that you're a sinner, that just isn't going to work. So you got to use whatever opportunity is at hand. So, yes, we need to teach however we can, share however we can, and wherever and whatever we can. Okay, the second last one from the bottom is receive God's power. What does this mean? How are you going to receive the power that's available in, as he says here, as Christ said here in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The implication is I have the power and I'm making it available to you so that you can go into all the world and preach the gospel. So how do you receive this power? Yes, sir. Well, you accept salvation. You accept the salvation that He has provided, and then you just sit there and say thank you.
Faith is involved.
Okay.
You submit to His authority and follow His leading, and as you do that, God will give you grace to do what's called.
Well, you're getting closer. Will. Sorry?
Feed and don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
What's the first? What is first?
Feed the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve it.
Feed.
How are you going to feed the Holy Spirit?
Praying and reading your Bible with God's great blessed to God.
Okay, so we're going to obey the commands. We're going to obey the Word of God. And when our hearts are in a right relationship with Him, follow me. Is this correct then? If our heart's in a right relationship with Him, then when we have opportunity to teach, to share, we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is what? Is going to guide us and empower us. What do you think, Pastor? Is that good? I got something right? That's great. Okay. Now we're up to the fourth one from the bottom. What is it? Feed my sheep. How do you do that? I missed one. What did I miss? Oh, baptize. Well, we talked about teaching and then comes baptizing. Yes.
Well,
So that's, yes, Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20 is all one package. So then we're up to feed my sheep. So how does this apply? How does this apply? Cam. Okay, the Bible says, do good unto all men, especially, yeah, the household of faith. Okay, so what is feeding the sheep? Is that, there's a passage that says, bear ye one another's burdens. I had that printed out and I... anyway, it's not here. So that's part of my notes that didn't make it. Cam?
It means Pastor's going to take us to Macca's after church tonight.
Oh, right. Okay. He's going to feed the sheep. Well done. How many vote for that? All the young people, they'll be in on that, Pastor. Well, it's not talking about, it's not talking about Macca's or food. It's talking about relationships, and we keep emphasizing at the college with our teachers in distance ed that they need to build relationships with the family, not only in distance ed, but in the day school too. You need to build relationship with the parents so that you can encourage them, you can communicate with them, you can help them to understand any of the challenges that come along, whatever the situation might be. So if you're going to feed the sheep, you need to build relationships. That's one of the reasons why we gather together here in this at Grace Baptist Church. It's one of the reasons why we gather together to build a relationship so that we know people and can encourage and on occasion say, hey, I think you could improve your situation if you made some changes. What's that called?
Guidance.
Sorry?
Guidance. Exhortation.
Exhortation. Okay, feeding the sheep. Well, we already looked at John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And what does that involve?
Obedience.
Well done, Will. That's obedience. Obedience. It's a major challenge today. I won't go there. I started to say about there are an increasing number of children who have anxiety. Part of the reason they have anxiety is they don't know where the boundaries are. And so they're in this great big wide world and don't understand where the boundaries are. And the parents aren't sharing the boundaries, and when they try to share the boundaries, then there are other things that happen, but we won't take that any further. Okay, up to the one above my, keep my commandments, is be born again. So it's a great passage, and we understand from repentance that this is not just a change of mind. Jesus said unto, this is John, a quote from John 3, 5 through 7, verily I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. And this is a term that's fallen out of favor these days, to be born again. They say, born again? Oh, no. You just acknowledge that there is a God and say you want to be on his same, you know, on the same, in the same crowd with God's crowd. There's all kinds of strange things happening out there and sayings that are happening out there, but you must be born again. I trust that all of us understand what that means. And that really comes back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where it says, go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. People must be born of the Spirit. And that's, by the way, the aspect, there are a couple of aspects of this that we probably ought to share a bit about. The fact is that God will draw all of those who come to Him. You can't just pluck somebody up and say you're going to be born again regardless of whether you want to be or not. It just doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit has to be at work in that person's life to share about sin and the consequences of sin. And then, hopefully, the person will make a decision to accept the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. All right, and then the top one on the last page says, take, eat, and drink. How does this apply to us? This was this passage in Matthew 26 was given what we call the Last Supper. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins, and for many for the remission of sins. So how does this apply to us? Does it apply to us? Yes, it does apply to us. And how does it apply? Paul set out some guidelines in his letters as to how this applies. So what is the important aspect of this? It comes back to what? Well, there are two or three aspects here that are important. What are they? One is obedience and remembrance. Yes, it's remembrance of why we're observing this. And part of the obedience means that you're going to be in a fellowship where this occurs. Is that correct? So that's obedience and fellowship, establishing relationships so that you can be where you need to be, doing what you need to be doing when you need to be doing it. I love that that came from Miriam when she was watching the basket, you see. She was where she needed to be, doing what she needed to be doing, when she needed to be doing it. If all children would do that, Moses didn't drown, and lots of families wouldn't drown if children simply did. There are families that are drowning. You know that. They're not coping. Time is almost up. We only got through one page here. And I got three more pages to go. Await my return. To whom? Watch therefore. This is Matthew 24. So he's speaking before his crucifixion. And really to the Jewish community. So does this apply to us? From New Testament teaching, Paul's epistles and others, we say yes, it certainly does. We need to be ready for his return. If we accept that his return can be at any time, well, pastor's saying, okay, how is he going to fix this now that he said this? See, because Jesus isn't going to stand on the earth when he returns for us. We're going to be caught up together with him in the air. So that's, and we need to be ready. We need to be watching. We need to be prepared. It could happen at any time. And the events around us surely seem to point to the fact that we are there. We are at this point where he can return. Of course, he could have returned at any point in time from his ascension until now. Then love your neighbor. How does this apply? Matthew 22. And does this apply to us? Of course it does. And how does it apply? Well, we said that we need to bear one another's burdens, and we need to feed the sheep, not only feed the sheep, but we need to do good to those who are outside the household of faith. And that's not always easy, but it is a challenge, and certainly we can do that. We're to love the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It's interesting, did you notice that we sang two songs this evening that mentioned gold? I get an email from people who are involved in the stock market and stocks. When Pastor was growing up, gold was $20 an ounce. You know what it is now? $2,000 an ounce. And there are people who have made this one of their idols. There are other things that are happening out there, but nonetheless, love the Lord rather than things. And if we're not careful, it's easy to love things. And then, of course, render unto Caesar. I don't know how many times people have said, if you want an invoice, the price is this. But if you pay in cash, the price is this. And what does that mean? They're not rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. All right. Look, we're not. I promise you I won't come back to this, what are the commands of Christ again. If you have any questions about any of this, Pastor is far more intelligent on and learned on most of these, if not all of this. So feel free to send him an email or send him a text, and I'm open to that too. If you have something that you want further input on, I'm certainly happy to do my best to share. But anyway, the commands of Christ, obedience is, what do the young people say, sing? Obedience is, can you sing that, Nathan? You can't sing that. He knew that if he said yes, I'd have him up here singing it, but obedience is the very best thing. Is that right?
Very best way.
The very best way. Okay. So hopefully you've learned a bit. We've shared a bit that's been helpful this evening, and we're grateful for the opportunity, Pastor. Thank you. And I'm happy to share whenever the opportunity arrives. Father, we're grateful this evening for your mercies. We're grateful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray earnestly, Father, that our hearts would be so in tune with you that we can know the power of the Holy Spirit and his leading. So help us, Father, to witness to the unsaved when it's your time for us to do so. Help us, Father, to be in tune with you so that we know when that time is, that we can share the good news. Help us, Father, to do what we can to win the lost to you. We thank you, Father, for the young people who pass out tracts at the market. We thank you, Father, for all of the Grace family who, whenever they can, share the good news with whoever is willing to listen. So, Father, we thank you for the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you most of all for who you are and the fact that you looked down on this world and provided a way that we might have a relationship with you. So, Father, we're grateful this evening and say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.